microphones and make a podcast. Two microphones and you make a podcast.
Hi, this is Joyce.
And this is Mary Beth.
Welcome. And this is Pam.
Ooh. Welcome to the Modern Yoga Podcast. Guess who's here?
This is Patty.
Patty Kubik.
Patty, do you like Kubik or Cubic? How is it?
It's Kubik. Like cubic
circle. Oh, not like a diamond.
Yeah, there you go.
Kubik. Okay.
Look at your big face. I switched my view so that I have the full... No. Don't back up. I switched my view so that I have the full screen of whoever is speaking because I haven't seen your face in a long time.
So funny.
It's been a while for me too. I'm going to look up that class that you and Dennis took in Brecksville a while ago.
And that wasn't that May? Wasn't it this year?
I mean, it is.
I don't
October.
Know, but you've been a client since July 25th of 2016, and I just 2 minutes ago learned how to correctly pronounce your last name.
Okay. Well, listen, I have an uncomfortable moment. I'm going to bring this up right here. Joyce, I want you to repeat after me. DiGirolamo.
DiGirolamo.
Yeah, that's a rough one. I never knew how to pronounce Beth's name.
you do that one wrong.
All the time. I know.
You do the DiGirolamo.
Yeah. Mike DiGirolamo corrects me every Monday night when I see him at softball.
He does.
And for a person
Geronimo,
who's
Geronimo,
for a person, the last name that's difficult to pronounce, you'd think I'd get that one because it's phonetically correct.
Right. Right.
Yeah. There you go. Well, it's wonderful to see both of you.
You too. So you came to James's class in Strongsville on June 22nd. You came to my class in Brecksville on May 22nd.
Yeah. Oh, how so funny.
And seriously, and then, I don't know when I've last seen you. I can't imagine when.
Yeah. And before I think it was way before you went on to even Italy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, probably. Because I don't remember where we were before Italy, but we're in the Cleveland area for the summer, for sure.
I think last time I might have seen you was at Mary Kennedy's little soiree. Oh,
yeah, that was the summer. Mm-hmm. So sometime that summer. Just been a little bit busy roaming around. But we just got back in May. So, and then, you know, with the jet lag was, ugh.
Wait, where were you?
So like a year ago, do you want me to run through it all?
Yeah, because the last I remember was Italy, because you were, your condo... the completion kept getting pushed back. And so you said we were going to go to Italy for, I don't know, like 2 weeks. And then you decided to go for 4 months or something like that.
Yeah. No, we lived there for 3 months. So, which was fabulous. And we visited, like, I even had to write down stuff. We visited like 16 different places.
Oh my gosh.
I loved Italy. Oh my gosh. From the beautiful, just as beautiful all the cities were, to, of course, the wine and the food and all the hiking. Oh my gosh, it was just wonderful.
So if you went back, where would you go? Would you go right into the big cities, or were there little things that you found that?
You know what? We lived in Florence for a month. And
that was one of my favorites.
Yes. And that was a good center point, because then we took the train for day trips everywhere. Like, we went to Venice for a day. We went to, I forget where, like Pisa for a day. Like, you could do little day trips from there. So it's kind of fun to have a base. And we had a nice Airbnb. And it's funny that actually where I got COVID in Italy.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
For the first time?
Was that your first time of COVID?
It's my first time, getting COVID.
Wow.
And
you got Italian COVID. I wonder if that's pronounced differently.
That's cool. Where
I can see why they all live so close together. You know what I mean?
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And everything's so close together when you're in their towns. But I just had it for a week. And then we were just lucky that we were in an Airbnb where we could hunker down, had two bedrooms. So Dennis and I could kind of keep our space,
So Dennis didn't get sick.
No.
Isn't that bizarre?
Always, I'll always remember that. Like, I got COVID in Italy. You know what I mean?
Souvenir. So special.
Yes, a souvenir, right? And then from there, we came home. And, because we ended up in Sicily for the month of November, not the month, but I think.
Which everybody says is like a different planet altogether, even than the
rest of Italy. It is. And it was so beautiful. And it was warm there. That's why we picked it to go keep going south in Italy in November. And then we came back for Thanksgiving in Florida and met our kids there and everything. So we felt like we touched down. Mm-hmm. And then we went to Mexico for a couple of weeks and didn't get home till like December 20th or something.
Oh, so let me back up for just a second. I've never been to Italy and like I know how to read maps and everything, but like in size, how would you describe Italy for somebody who lives in Ohio?
I know it's as big as, I feel like it's so easy to get around. It's probably as big, and I know there's a state that it's as big as.
Yeah.
Mary Beth, mm-hmm. Do you know this, Mary Beth?
I don't. I mean, it's not, Italy itself isn't tiny. There's
it's states. Not, but like in 3 hours or like we never took that long, but well, we did actually to get to Sicily. We had to take a long train down.
California.
Okay.
That but makes so there you go.
If you're kind of in the center, wherever you are, the train system is just amazing. Mm-hmm. And it's inexpensive to jump on a train mm-hmm. and, you know, get around. We even took the train to Sicily. The train got right onto the ferry. Amazing.
Wow. Like,
rode right into the ferry. The ferry crossed the water. It was like a 10-minute little crossing the water to Sicily.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. But honestly, wherever we were. So I would pick a central location knowing that you can bop around so easily.
And I remember from Florence, you can sort of get off the beaten path in Tuscany. And I'm sure maybe you did some hiking and stuff there.
We did. And we actually rented a car for a day and drove all around Tuscany, stayed overnight in Cortana, which is a little village. That's what I found so cool is that, oh my God, every little town is so cute.
Charming.
And there's churches and like, it's not just, you know, the places you see, it's every little Montepulciano, like every place mm-hmm. you go.
Montepulciano, like, San Gimignano.
Yes. Like they're just adorable little towns. And I would not, like, I really want to go back there. I'm sure we will go back there. But like this year we're talking about, because of course our townhouse was delayed again. And it was like, can we sneak away to Italy for a month? You know,
right. If we're going to kill time, can we not kill it here?
Yeah. But yeah, so love that. Italy, I would recommend it to anyone because it's actually cheaper than the United States, which was, you know, the food and they don't give you as much food, you know, so the serving size.
Right. And the other thing is just ordering the house wine anywhere is fabulous.
Yes. Absolutely.
You don't have to pour over your pretentious wine list in Italy.
No. And we, any little town you went to had their wine, like Montepulciano, of course, was that. And Sangiovese, I think that was Florence, or was it Bologna? One, like every area, every city you were in, of course, had their own wine. So I feel
it
like
it sounds so fancy. Like all these names just sound like, of course I'd want wine from there. Not like, you know, Parma
and at
wine.
At the same time, as fancy as it is, it's that just earthy and unfancy.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Like, yeah. But can you imagine like Strongsville wine?
Yeah. No.
Be like, eh.
Yeah. But as
Cleveland wine.
Yes, exactly. And you would get like a half liter for like $4 and you're like, okay, that's not even debatable.
Right.
You know, and then the simplicity, like pasta and then some spinach and tomatoes or something, like it's so simple. And we make everything so saucy and complicated here.
Yeah. Yeah. Had some great meals there. And it's so funny. Like I even ate the sandwiches. Like we decided we would eat everything. Of course, when you go to mm-hmm. Italy, like you have to have the cannolis and the gelatos. And, you know, that's normally stuff you don't try to eat every day, but we just indulged, but we did so much walking, you know, even, you know, in Florence, we stayed across the Arno River. So we had to cross over every day to get into the city and what a nice walk, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just think we walked it all off so easily. So
and I think when you let yourself have something, you know, when we're dieting all the time, not having any carbs, then you just sort of pound this giant piece of cake when you let yourself go. But if you're going to let yourself have, you know, a biscotti or the bread, I mean, you can't not have bread in
Italy. A liter of wine.
Yeah. You can calm down. You can like calm down and eat it and enjoy it.
Yeah.
And not race through it and think you need to have three of them because you might not have one again tomorrow.
Well, and I think even that's their philosophy, you know, with the desserts and stuff. Like they think every day you should have a gelato, you know, or whatever. So I agree
with that.
But really talk about, you know, eating like that and didn't gain an ounce because we did so much walking around.
And wasn't it more mindful eating than here because you were trying new, fresh, local things? So talk about, you know, mindfulness and of course, because we got to tie it all back to yoga here at the Mind Yoga Podcast.
Yeah. But we always agreed that, you know, wherever you go, you just got to eat the food and you got to experience it, you know? So one of my favorite places for sure. And hopefully get to go back there.
So you said you came home to Florida. Did you stop? Were you in Cleveland at all?
No, we flew. So that's the thing. Like this time we went to Italy and kind of had a one-way ticket.
Yeah.
And so then we could decide where we were going. And we thought we would go home, but we're like, well, I go home and then fly to Florida, you know, for Thanksgiving. We've been doing Thanksgiving there for the last
time. You didn't really have a home at the time, right?
Yes, we did. No, we did. So that's why we just took our ticket from there. And then once we were in Florida, we're like, you know, it's a hop, skip, and a jump over to Mexico for a couple weeks, trying to get the warmth and the, you know, whatever before. Right. It was a little stressful coming home December 20th. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's Christmas, you know. Mm-hmm. But
Christmas has to be much simpler now than it used to be.
Yeah.
What part of Florida were you in?
My mother-in-law lives in St. Pete Beach.
Oh,
close to Tampa.
James and I did a 1-day trip to St. Pete. It ended up being two, but because Frontier screwed us. That's at a podcast you can listen to.
That's Joyce chasing Trevor Hall.
Yes. Yeah.
It was hey, let's go see Trevor Hall in St. Pete tomorrow. And we made it happen.
Well, and that's fun.
Yeah, it actually was. It was really fun. But like, you know, you wake up one day and the next night you have a hotel room overlooking the ocean, you know, and it is beautiful there. Like it was just a really cool, quick thing, but that's a nice area. Like, I would spend some time there.
Yeah.
But I didn't.
We've been going there. I mean, since Dennis and I have been together. So like almost 40 years.
Wow.
To that area. So very familiar, you know? Fun.
And then Mexico isn't very far away.
And we went to our normal Playa del Carmen because we're very familiar with it there. We have a yoga studio we go to there. You know, it feels very comfortable and natural. So we did that. And then we came home. And we were home, I think, till January 10th or something like that, a few weeks. So
when was your place actually done and inhabitable?
September 11th.
Okay.
I've been here 3 weeks.
So have you been Airbnb-ing it since then?
Yes.
Or like for the last...
Well, and I think 3 months of Airbnbs. May, we were in Tremont for a month, and then we were on West 25th for 2 months because we wanted to be close to our place so we could keep an eye on it. And then just a couple of weeks, we stayed at my sister's, you know, in between the time this was ready and our last Airbnb was done. So. How do we like what? Our house?
Well, finish your sentence. Yeah. But that's what I was asking.
No, we loved even West 25th because we were close to our area that we're going to live. We got to explore it a little bit more deeper. I'm telling you, that's the coolest thing that I realized. Like even coming home to Cleveland, living different neighborhoods is so cool because you know, I even say stuff to my family about, oh, did you know about this and this in the Cleveland area? And they're just like, what?
Ohio City, what do you think is a secret gem or two that people don't really know about?
Well, I know people know about the West Side Market, but I literally could go there every day. Mm-hmm. And I loved that because if I'm making a recipe, I could literally, you know, walk out of my apartment and walk across the street and, you know.
Where were you at? Up above, like, what is it, that arcade place?
There was, I hate to say it, but it's a we're literally across the street diagonally from West Side Market, mm-hmm. Forest City Brewery. Okay, so that's one thing, like smelling beer all the time when you're outside on the sidewalk can get a little, you know, much.
But all the hops.
Well, and we thought it would be cool, which we were on West 25th, so very entertaining to watch what's going on there. And luckily, our place, like the bedrooms were in the back. So we're, you know, a little more back in the neighborhood so we could sleep because it gets a little crazy. Oh, Market Garden and Town Hall.
Town Hall.
Is such good, like healthy food.
Yeah.
You know? But even back in the neighborhood, like if you walk, you know, back in Ohio City, all the little streets back there, Franklin and Clinton, Ridge. Very nice little homes and very nice Hex cafes there, mm-hmm. Nice little ice cream shops. I mean, yeah, very, very nice.
Hansa, did you ever go to Hansa? They have such an interesting menu.
What's it called?
Hansa. It's like a brewery. They have a patio outside and it's on Lorraine.
It's on Lorraine. Yeah.
I haven't. Oh my gosh.
The so Carpaccio is.
There's so many breweries in that area. It's crazy. Yeah. Like just in that corner of Ohio City, you know? But yeah, very cool. So it was very interesting living there. Glad I'm not staying there because it's a little bit more of a neighborhood where we're living right now. So.
Which is Detroit Shoreway, right?
Yeah.
Are you Battery Park or?
Well, it's so funny because there's so many names. I'm right across the street from Edgewater. But it says Gordon Square. Like when you come up under the bridge, it says Gordon Square. Mm-hmm. I think Battery Park, I see the sign behind me. So Battery Park neighborhood, I feel like that defines us because we're actually in that development. Mm-hmm. But they have all names for it. So I don't know what the city of Cleveland's doing, but
they're rebranding with some confusion.
Yes. Yeah.
So where does your, you have patio doors behind you. What is your view?
Do you want to see?
Yeah. For this our international podcast audience.
Yes. This is, let me switch that.
What floor are you on?
Well, this is our main living floor is, the second floor.
So your garage.
Garage is downstairs. But this is
I know just where you are.
Yep.
Yeah, so we've all been there. Awesome.
That's the bridge that goes down to Edgewater Park.
Yeah. And that's the lake behind the train.
Yes. Yeah. And you can walk and bike and everything right under there and go. Yeah.
So
now it makes sense.
So awesome.
And actually, on the next floor up, you can actually see a city view. So it's pretty cool.
But, and it's, you know, we're showing the world the typical overcast Cleveland day, even though we have had beautiful, beautiful weather.
Yeah, unfortunately. But that's what I love about, you know, just looking out. Once again, there's so much to watch here, too, sitting on that patio, you know, especially like in the morning, there's the dog walking parade. Everybody mm-hmm. who lives, there's lots of townhouses, apartments across the street. Everyone's walking their dog. So it's so interesting. And same thing at night, like 5:30 at night, everyone's parading down to Edgewater to walk their dogs. You know? So
that's cool.
We love it so far. Like, you know, we can go walk, take a nice little lap, you know, you can take like a mile and a half lap or like 3 or 4 miles down there every night after dinner. So it's very cool. So it kind of goes with the whole, like the way we've been living the past couple of years, like living in a city where we could walk everywhere. We really don't drive.
The only difference is the local wine sucks.
Yes. And a lot more expensive. I got to tell you, when we got back this time, we had such shell shock at the prices and everything because we had been living in Asia and even in Bali and everything was just, you know, you get used to that economy and then you get back here and you're like, what do you mean? It's, you know, $14 for a bottle of wine. It's like, what?
And or and glass. Here, we are certainly not the most expensive area of our country. So,
no, right.
Yeah,
not at all.
I was just telling a story the other night about when James and I went to we did that one day trip last minute. We had a short layover at the Charlotte airport, and we went to a Mexican restaurant in the airport because we don't eat meat and it's easy to get tacos without meat, you know?
Sure.
And we went up to the bar cause it was pretty busy. And, I asked if I could have a margarita, but I didn't want a super sweet one. And she's like, oh, I can make like a skinny girl variation. I'm like, okay. It was $26 for a margarita.
We just had a Bloody Mary before we flew to South Carolina last week. And same thing. It was, we were like, oh my gosh.
Right. She didn't tell me, you know, like, well, you know, this special mix is going to be $26. I mean, when it wasn't like a big margarita.
Exactly. It's not even large.
And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's just, and it's the airport and whatever, but yeah, everything is just ridiculous anymore. But I get it. I mean, I'm a small business owner. Prices of absolutely everything have gone up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it's funny, when we first got here, the first couple of weeks literally felt like we were at another Airbnb. Like it like felt natural. It felt, okay, we're setting up. We're going to be here for a while. You know, it
was, right.
It was just like a comfortable feeling of like, okay, now, you know, we can walk down to the lake and I don't know. Like, and then it finally realized like, oh, I live here. This is my place.
I was going to say, is it sinking in? That is it, yes. Feeling like home? Are you starting to nest?
Yes. Yeah.
That's a nice feeling of non-attachment though. You know, like you're enjoying it, but you know, like it's not defining you.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really a strange feeling though, in a sense, because you're like, I've been waiting for this for how long? And,
but you also haven't had a house for, like, you haven't had a home base for how long now?
Yeah. Like 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and it made that little, there was a little sense of nervousness now, like, oh my gosh, should we really be doing this? Like, but you have to, it's nice to have a, you know, home base, and, you know, we're kind of thinking of this, we're only going to hang out here for, you know, 4 to 6 months, a year. We're still going to try to get away in when the weather's crappy and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So
have you thought about Airbnb-ing your place?
No, I wouldn't do that. I mean, we easily could, you know, because it's a great location. Sure. And even like close to the Cleveland Clinic, it's, you know, 14 minutes to the main, you know, campus. But I'm like, oh my God, no way do I want people living in my house, just because of, I don't want anyone scuffing my walls. And so,
especially maybe, when you've built it and it's new it's your only island of when you've been traveling. And then now this is your landing pad. It's got to feel like really yours.
Yeah. I you know, maybe someday, but right now I'm like, oh, I couldn't even imagine that. Cause everyone asked me that. Cause if you're not going to be there, right? I was like, oh, I don't know. But I guess if you got the right person at the right price, you got a mature adult to rent it or Airbnb.
But you can't necessarily like filter that on Airbnb.
By price, you probably can.
Well, you know, yeah, that's true.
Make it a little bit more expensive. You know, that will kind of filter out and make it maybe a month stay, you know.
Yeah.
That would maybe, you know, filter out.
Yeah, yeah, we bring in the Patty and Dennis's of the world that really.
Yeah,
just,
you wouldn't want this to be a party house or anything. You know,
party at Patty's.
I know, right?
But the way that you guys travel, like your trips, what you just described in Italy, I love Cleveland, but I can't imagine somebody from Italy is like, I'm going to go to Cleveland.
I know.
And stay in this cute little area called Battery Park or Gordon Square. You know, like
do you know that there's cruise ships that come here?
Yes, I just saw that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who knew?
I know. And it's so funny because even you'll see, you know, foreign speaking people or people with, and I feel like some come from Canada. So maybe they're French Canadians, or because it seems like I've heard that, like at Lakewood Park, I hear people, but like, that's where they would go. They would go to like Edgewater or the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when they get off the boat, whatever. Mm-hmm. But isn't that interesting? I mean, we all think like, who would want, you know, not who would want to come. It's, you know, every city there's like really great aspects, and Cleveland does have a lot of really nice things.
Sure.
But like when you live there, you maybe don't know all the touristy things.
And also out in the world, Cleveland's never had the best reputation.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's always been the mistake by the lake, but we have great culture and ballet and orchestra and people don't even know.
And you know what's funny? We were in some country, maybe it was, I don't know if it was like Indonesia or Borneo or, but someone said to us when we said we're from Cleveland, they're like, oh, where that train spill was in,
Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And we were like, what?
It's funny. I got a lot. So that was Palestine, yes. West or East Palestine. And a lot of people I know on Facebook, like my Canadian relatives or whatever, people did reach out to me and were like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, that's actually quite a ways, you know, away from us. But so there we are again. Like when we're on the national news, it ain't good. It ain't for something good.
Yeah.
I mean, our sports teams haven't been stellar in a while either.
Yes, that's true. But yeah, they only hear about the disasters, unfortunately.
So you mentioned being close to the Cleveland Clinic. Is that a segue we want to explore?
We can. Huh. So after we traveled, we went to like 12 different places from January to, we extended it to May. Dennis learned how to, not learn, but he was doing taxes while we were in Bali. We stayed in Bali for a month. And that was always the reason that we came home early, because he had some clients that he does taxes for, let
alone doing taxes in Bali.
Yeah. And then he
I'm
was
doing
like,
your tax return in Bali.
This was great because he like could stage it out, you know, and it was better than coming home. We would come home and he would crunch for like 2 weeks to get, you know, the deadlines in. So he kind of learned to, it worked out great doing it, you know, and that's why we stayed in Bali for a month, where my daughter came to visit us also, which was awesome. So, but then we got home. And so every time we get home, I do checkups. I need to go to the dentist, and I need to, you know, get my mammogram and all this stuff. So I just started booking all that stuff. And then went to in June, got a mammogram, and on the mammogram, I remember having the mammogram, talking to the girl. It was really quick and easy, no big deal. Leave, go home. And then on, a couple of days later, someone calls and says, they sent me I think they left a voicemail. And you know how you read the transcript?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just kind of read it, and it was like, oh, I took it as, oh, you have to come back and get better pictures. I didn't think anything of it because that's happened to me before,
right?
Where they're like, oh, we just need to check something. And so I go, okay. So I scheduled and I got in like right away on another Friday. Well, my niece had died that week, July 9th. Mm-hmm. And like my mind just wasn't, there. And I really wasn't paying any attention to it. And so I go back for the second mammogram, and they take me in the room and they do another, the diagnostic mammogram.
Right.
And
I go,
this is a different machine. I was like, oh, interesting. Didn't say anything. They take it. And then they're like, oh, wait a minute. We're going to have you go do an ultrasound. And then I'm sitting there thinking like, what's going on? So they take me into the room and I go, hang on, what is going on?
Yeah.
And then the radiologist actually came, cause she did that, ultrasound. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, we saw something. The reason we're doing these pictures again is we saw something and we need to check it out. And I was like, oh, I didn't know that, cause I didn't read the whole transcript, and I thought it was like no big deal. So, so she did the, it was interesting cause the radiologist actually did the, mammogram or the ultrasound, and they found a lymph. Well, they thought it was breast cancer. That's where they went right away, because it was in my breast. They're like, this is what, and I was like, well, that's really strange, because I had melanoma 11 years ago, and my mom had lymphoma, but my aunt had breast cancer, but like nothing. I was like, isn't that strange that you would have melanoma, but then you could get a different kind of cancer? You know what I mean? So, and she was like, well, we're not going to rule anything out. So she took all her pictures and stuff. And luckily, the first person who did my mammogram had like grabbed like against my chest wall, like under my arm, like just the way she had grabbed it was just a little bit of this, tumor.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I feel like so lucky that it was like if she would have not grabbed that fully,
Right. Like anything less thorough and it would have been missed.
And after she found like kind of, could you find it after that?
No, I still can't. I still feel it. It's only a millimeter, like 1.2 or something like that. I still can't feel it, but it's, so then after they do all this examination, which, you know, that's the worst waiting for a biopsy. Mm-hmm. And because they said, oh, we'll have the results before the weekend. Don't want you to worry over the weekend or whatever. But of course I did, and they didn't have it. And because it wasn't breast cancer, it, mm-hmm. you know, because now I learned that every cancer has identifying cancer markers. So mm-hmm. it didn't have those markers. It didn't have lymphoma markers. So also knowing, you know, like saying to the, you know, doctor, like, hey, here's what's in my family as she's, mm-hmm. you know, she's writing all that down. So they know to look for those certain things. And it really wasn't until like 10 days later that I got the results. I was coming home from Myrtle Beach. I was on vacation with my sister mm-hmm. and, we just went there to chill out for a week. And that's when I got the result saying it was metastatic melanoma. And I was like, what, you know, how does that make sense? And I guess I didn't really hear the word metastatic, and it makes sense. If you have,
what does that mean?
It means it moved and it's not good.
Oh, it's a spread of an original spread. Cancer.
And anytime a cancer spreads, meaning it can spread anywhere then, you know, who knows, you know, is this the first stop it made? But it made no sense to me because, and it still doesn't, and they can't really explain it. That you could 11 years have no other melanomas, which I've had other things taken off my body, but none of it has been melanoma. So how do you have one that after 10 years I celebrated like, ooh, I'm cancer free. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for it to show up. And I still don't think, I think when they do the surgery and they actually take it out, you know, they'll be able to figure out exactly, you know, how did it get there? Because they were looking for a skin lesion. Normally mm-hmm. melanoma starts on it's a skin cancer. Mm-hmm. So if there was another site, which I was kind of hoping for, I was kind of hoping they'd find something that was another site that they'd be like, oh, it came from here. Mm-hmm. So boom, if we cut this out, that's the end of it. Mm-hmm. Where if it's metastatic and it came from this site, who knows, you know, where else it could have gone. But I did have a PET scan and it didn't go. I've had MRIs. It's so interesting. Like in the first, as soon as they find it, like it's just a whirlwind of appointments and scans. And, you know, you go to see every doctor in the world. Very overwhelming. But what I realize is that I'm just really lucky that they found it quick. Because it seems like from a PET scan where they do your whole body, it's only in this one spot. So...
Right. And how long do you wait for PET scan results? Is that pretty immediate?
Oh, a couple days.
And what I was just going to say is, you know, if you landed home in May and started making these appointments, did you just do a walk-up mammogram or were you able to get in? Because I know a lot of people struggle to get an appointment like in the next 6 months when they start trying to schedule.
I used to always do the month of October because it's, you know, breast cancer awareness. Mm-hmm. That's the way I always remember, like, oh, I got to get my appointment. But you always have to make your appointment a year and a day after your last one. So suddenly I was running out of time. Well, last year, so interesting though, because last year I couldn't make it in October because we were in Italy. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. But that's interesting because it may not have even been there. And right. It would have been a year later.
Yeah.
That I would be looking at. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the fact that I remember in January going, oh, I missed my mammogram and trying to get an appointment and I couldn't, you know, that few weeks that I was home before I left again. And then I was like, oh, no biggie. I'll just wait till I get back in, you know, the spring. And I guess you're just like, wow, the way everything worked out, I don't think they would have caught it. Who knows? You know, back
right. And like two things are striking me. One, I'm so glad you're sharing this because the importance of no matter what part of the world, I mean, you were in Asia, you were in Italy. It is so important to touch base once a year with your health
Yeah.
Because you're feeling fine. There's nothing wrong with you. It was simply caught on imaging. And the other thing is that I do think in recent years that all of the hospital systems and labs have to have no appointment walk-up mammograms. Now, it might only be like from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock every Thursday, but for anybody who is concerned and cannot get an appointment and get in, look into that for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes you have to wait because I have done the walk-up before. And sometimes you have to wait, but it is, you know, so important.
I mean, you're living proof that you can't, you know, put that off. And there's one of our students at yoga who, you know, I won't obviously divulge her name here because we're all about the HIPAA, but she too went for a mammogram and something was caught that was not breast cancer. It was a tumor or a cyst on her chest wall and she needed to have surgery and she never would have known if she hadn't gone for her annual mammogram. And it was unrelated, but it's just another opportunity to scan that area.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I feel very lucky that kind of that series of events, you know, led them to discovering it early. And that's what they, you know, kept telling me, and that I'm healthy. And that's the hardest thing to wrap your head around. It's like all my blood work, you know, came back like so good, even though I travel. Mm-hmm. I thought, oh, my sodium and all that stuff's probably crazy. And it wasn't at all. My blood work's all good, but they're telling me I'm sick. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's the hardest thing sometimes to wrap your head around. But luckily, I do take care of myself and I exercise and I do all this stuff. So my body's set up to receive, you know, the medication that they're giving me to fight this. So,
and that is so true. That's what, you know, Robin Quivers, Howard Stern's, you know, I don't want to say sidekick because that's not the case, but years and years ago, she kind of went on a health kick and lost a lot of weight and everything was wonderful. And then she was diagnosed with cancer and the criticism was, well, you know, that's what you get for that. And she said, no, like this would have killed me if I hadn't gotten healthy first to be able to tolerate and be strong enough for treatment and recovery.
Mary Beth, that's so true. I feel like people take it one way or another. Some people look at themselves and go, oh my God, I better get healthy. If someone who's been doing all this stuff and taking care of themselves got this, I better watch it. Or you get the other side who's like, well, who cares then? Because obviously.
Right. The guy was jogging and he had a heart attack. So why should I bother?
Yes. And it's so wrong because if you come from, like, that's what my doctor even said, if your body's robust, which, you know, not sure I like that word, but it's, you know, I feel like I am, right?
Mary Beth's robust.
I'm robust. Yeah.
If your body is robust, you could fight it much better then. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at all the side effects and everything of the cancer treatments, you know, it can be overwhelming. And just knowing that you're coming from a place of, no, I got this. Mm-hmm. I, you know, this is going to be a good path for me. It's going to come out in a positive way. And the positive thinking that you should have, that it is going to be. I think I had one day of just really, you know, where I cried and I was like so upset. And
but it's just such a punch in the gut and unexpected.
It is. And you just think of like, gosh, I'm not a grandmother yet. My kids aren't even married and all that kind of stuff. But then that was it. And it was like, no, I got this. Like in my mind, I was like, how could this be? I am healthy. I do take care of myself. So just knowing that I have that to fight.
What are the next steps?
I did start immunotherapy, which is another really good news is that the treatment of cancers has changed so much over the past 11 years that I've had it. Now, the first one, they took it out surgically, took a big chunk of my arm out, and the margins were great and great, one and done. Didn't even have to take anything, radiation, no chemo, no nothing. This time it's immunotherapy, which is different than chemotherapy. It doesn't have the awful side effects that chemotherapy has. It's got some side effects, but it actually teaches your body to fight this itself. So it's boosting your immune system so you are able to fight off the cancer itself. So I've already had two treatments of that. It's an infusion. Mm-hmm. And so far, so good. Like a little bit of fatigue is all I've been experiencing. So I think I'm very lucky at that, knock on wood. And then I am going to have surgery. I know, because I was kind of like, well, what if I do this and the tumor shrinks? You know, can I avoid surgery? And he's like, yeah, but there's, it could be microscopic stuff.
Right, right.
In this that could suddenly move on to another part of your body. So he's like, yeah, you could maybe put off surgery for a while, but eventually you need to have surgery. So I was like, okay. So the end of the month, I'm going to have surgery. And then I'm supposed to have the immunotherapy for a year. So 9 infusions. And I said, once again, well, what if, can I just do 6 of them? Like you get the, you get good margins.
Patty's like, let's get this over with. I've got to go back to Italy. No, I'm kidding.
Well, right. And I also feel like I also am a little nervous about putting this stuff in my body.
Right. Sure.
Because of the long term.
Well, it can stay with you. Feel good. You know, like you don't feel sick, so you can't, like, there's probably some part of your brain that's like, why do I have to plan out another year of this when I feel great?
Yeah. I mean,
and it is such a Sophie's choice. Like,
yes, but they said, based on the clinical trials, you shouldn't. Of course you can do whatever you want, but based on clinical trials, it was a year of infusion surgery and this, you know, this should wrap it up.
This protocol. So now,
they're calling cancer like a chronic disease. It can be managed. It's not a death sentence. Right. Like, you know, and I thought about that right away. I go, oh my God, I know so many people who've had breast cancer and are moving on with their life. Like, you know, or other. So to me right away, I was like, well, wait a minute. Other people are alive. So I'm sure I'm going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the way that you have to think about it. So that was good news to think about it. My daughter's boyfriend, his mom is an oncology nurse. So she's been so helpful. And she was the one who told me, like, we went to this seminar and it said, you know, hey, you know, cancer is no longer, it can be classified kind of as a chronic disease. Mm-hmm. And it's something you might have to live with, but you can live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You just manage it as it changes.
Yeah. So tweaking, you know, it's so funny because you think about, you know, so many people are like, oh, what did you do, you know, to, you know, what lifestyle did you change to? Or it's like, well, nothing really, because we eat a lot of plant-based. And, well, I cut back on drinking, you know, because I'm like, okay, this drug is going to tax my liver. So why have, you know, other things taxing my liver?
Smart.
But besides that, like, you know, trying to stay active, which, you know, living here is very easy. You know, first of all, I moved, which actually was a great distraction because it was easy to keep busy unpacking boxes and, you know, rearranging things and stuff like that. But just the walkability of this neighborhood makes me feel like, okay, and riding my bike and all that kind of stuff. So I get treatments every 6 weeks, which is kind of nice too, because you really can forget about it.
Yeah. Like, you know,
the first
not an every stuff. Week thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Or a lot of people go every three weeks and stuff. So, you know, based on, you know, what kind of cancer you have and where it is. So I am fortunate that it's like every 6 weeks and I kind of forget about it. Once again, Cleveland Clinic is 15 minutes away. Right. So that's very nice.
Maybe the best argument ever for Cleveland, Ohio is our hospitals, Cleveland Clinic and University.
Well, so Mary, back to that point, I was like, well, you know, I was talking to my sister who works for hospitals and it's like, shouldn't I get a second opinion? And then even, you know, my friend Debbie was like, you're at the Cleveland Clinic. Like you are so lucky. And I was like, oh, like I've always been with the Cleveland Clinic. So to me, not realizing, you know, that, wow, you're right. UH and Cleveland Clinic are two of the best hospitals for cancer care.
Right.
You know, so. I know.
So will you be staying in Cleveland till all that's done, or will you be traveling in between your 6 week? Like when should that wrap up?
Well, we're trying to decide, because I'm only two treatments down and the surgery might keep me a little bit, but next week we are going to Florida for like 4 days. And then we're like, once again, since it's 6 weeks, you know, can we go somewhere for a month when the weather's bad and kind of you know, yes, we can't go to Asia or far away. We want to be very close. I don't know. We're trying to decide that too. As long as I stay healthy and feel good, why not?
So and if you just can get back to Cleveland pretty easily, then you should be in good shape.
Yeah. And bottom line is we could, you know, hang out in Florida for a while because Cleveland Clinic is there and I could get my treatments there. But I guess we're going to Florida forever. So some different places. So, so not sure what that looks like yet. I want to get through the surgery and see.
I mean, there's all the Caribbean islands, you know, like that. Those aren't far from Florida.
They could hang it from a coconut tree. Your infusion.
Right. Yeah.
How is the infusion? Does that like wear you out for, you know, I know it's probably stressful, but.
It is in a sense that, but it's just a half hour infusion and then they kind of flush it with saline. And actually, yeah, I get home and I sleep good that night, but like we normally like go for a walk or something. Next day we go for a hike. And I really was planning on just like being a couch potato like the day after, but it doesn't feel natural. Like I don't feel like I need that. Right. So not at all. So fortunate for that also. Staying hydrated is so important.
How many years has it been since Dennis retired and you took your first big trip to, I think Thailand was your first. Or no, was it Costa Rica?
Five. No, it was Thailand.
Yeah.
And I think it was like five.
Yeah. So you graduated from teacher training in 2017. And it was like at the beginning of 2018 that you were gone for 3 months.
For 3 months.
Oh, there you go. You remember it better than I do.
So, and what the reason I asked that is because, you know, this is the very illustration of why that if you can, you should seize the day. You've been traveling your ass off for 5 years and loving every minute of it. And now you've got a little bump in the road that might stall you for a few months or even, you know, some of your really international travel for a year before you get back at it. But if you, you know, if people wait, the time might never seem right. And now look what you might have missed. And now, what if you hadn't gone and now there's a diagnosis and you're like, oh, I'll never get there now. I'll never get to Thailand and have all that delicious Thai food.
Right.
And so I've always, the day.
We've always said that. We've always said like, we're doing this while we're healthy and on the youngish
side of it. Yeah.
Retirement. Yes. So happy we have, but I really think, you know, there's still more to come. But so
this just means that our international audience is going to stay stagnant for a while.
Possibly.
The dots on Buzzsprout that tell us where we've been listened to at are going.
Oh, we might not even be an international podcast.
No,
anymore.
Because there's that girl in Canada that loves us.
That's awesome. We were like thinking of like this spring, we were going to go, you're going to love this, Joyce, to Nepal. And our destination was Annapurna Base Camp, which is Annapurna is one of the largest mountains in the world, but we were just going to hike to the base camp, take our time. And we were planning, I think on like a 12-day hike and like that, everything was going to kind of focus around there. So what do we got to do to get to Nepal? Where are we going to visit beforehand and stuff? And then April was going to be like, we're going to do this hike. And, you know, something that I heard about years ago and I was like, oh, that's so interesting. But if you go with like a hiking group, they're like hiking 10 hours a day and getting up quick. Well, then we saw some YouTubers who took their time because you can stay in little huts all the way, little villages almost all the way up. But it would be a very challenging thing, but we could take our time. And if we got, you know, altitude sickness and had to stay at one place for a couple of days, we could. So we were going to do our own little thing. And that's still on the books, but it probably won't be until, 2025, because I don't know that I could, I'm definitely not at that level and I'd have to train a little bit harder.
Yeah. And you want it to be fun. I mean,
yes.
If hiking hard 10 hours a day to get to the destination isn't fun for you, then, you know, why do that? So We've all seen Reese Witherspoon in Wild. We know how that goes. Gotta take it as it comes. Figure your stuff out.
I haven't seen it.
No?
What?
Did you read the book?
Yeah, I read the book. Yeah. I always feel like the movies ruin the, you know, like the book's always so much better.
So true. It's not. It's not as good as the book.
I watch so little anything. So I haven't seen most things.
Yeah.
But like something like that that she did was very cool too. And God, she did that on her own, you know, in the mountains. I couldn't imagine that. But I would just like, I would love to see the Himalaya mountains. I just think that would be amazing. Amazing. So
yeah.
That'll be our next trip whenever we decide, our big trip, whenever we decide to hit the road again. So.
And is your family freaked out? Sometimes it's so hard to be in the passenger seat when somebody's been diagnosed with something.
Yes. And I love that a lot of them have checked their own health. That's why I thought, you know, and I was debating so much about, you know, I didn't really want to post something on Facebook, but I kind of wanted people to know, like, oh my gosh. Like, I am so lucky that I found this when I did, and how people need to, you know, learn from that. And especially now that it's October, this is a great time to get this message out, you know.
It is. And whether it's breast cancer, getting your colonoscopy, so many of these things, you just told us, you can't feel this thing. It's so tiny. And waiting even a year for most of these things can really be the difference.
Sure.
Between something really major and something that's still small enough to kick its ass quickly.
Absolutely. So I think that, and funny, like, and it's funny, like some of the people in my family that are already healthy are the ones that right away went, oh, I'm going to the, you know, skin doctor. And then there's some people who like are still smoking and stuff. And you're like, can you get an idea that your sister who's healthy is having this issue? But, you know, and once again, you know, people take whatever, but my family's been so supportive.
Of course. I'm sure they're worried, but it has to make them feel good that you're positive and that you guys are so healthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even you sharing this came about kind of serendipitously because out of the blue, Joyce texted the two of us and said, can we finally get together for lunch? It's been too long. Couple weeks ago. Patty. So we set this lunch date and it was supposed to be today. And then a couple days ago, Joyce said, I can't make lunch work. I'm so sorry. But hey, would you be remotely interested in doing the podcast with us in the morning instead? And you were like, yeah, I would. And I should tell you guys something first. And you told us about your diagnosis. And I said, so you're telling us because this is something you want to stay away from or something you want to share? And you said, no, it's definitely something I want to share. And here's why. And it's what you just said, like all these things coming together kind of accidentally, if not for that, might have a very different outcome.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So if it makes one person just go and, you know, get their checkups that they should. And even like melanoma is, can be hereditary. So even both my kids are like, you know, going to the dermatologist and making sure. I never went to the dermatologist until I was 50 years old. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I too. I went at 50. I'm 54 now. And now I go every year. And you might be part of the reason why. Because I remember the scar on your arm in yoga. And as we get older, all these weird ass moles pop up. So I, you know, I mean, they don't make you get on the scale there, but they do walk around you naked, which is, you know, possibly even more fun. So I go to a female because I only let men walk around me naked in the bedroom. But there's so many things about your health to consider. And did you, with your first melanoma, you found a bump or a lump or a mole?
No. And actually, because I was showing the surgeon at Cleveland Clinic that my first melanoma wasn't even like atypical. It was like a red patch, like a little heart-shaped thing. And it got scaly, like a little bit dry and flaky. And it was my 50th birthday. And my sister's like, you should get that checked out. And I go, I know. I actually, you know, realized like, ooh, it's a skin change. That could be something. And then when the doctor did it, he's like, oh, I don't think that's anything, but, you know, let's do a little biopsy. And then he calls me at work. I'll never forget it. He was like, this is melanoma. Like, I'm shocked. And from there we went, you know. But I used to cover my scar all the time. Like at work, I covered it. No one ever knew. Even mm-hmm. when I went, I used to always go shopping at this one place. And I was friends with this, you know, girl who worked there, the manager. And she was like, she didn't see it for years. And she was like, I never saw that scar. I go, oh yeah, I always tried to hide it. And then my doctor was like, you shouldn't hide it. Because you could save someone's life. If they saw that and you tell your story, like, hey, I had this not atypical melanoma.
Yeah.
And, you know, once again, that was by chance that, because it honestly didn't look like anything.
Right. So and that, even the doctor thought it didn't look like anything.
Yes. And, but that's why this time I was like, oh, I probably need to share and tell. And, you know, yeah. So I'm not afraid to tell people. Because
no, it's like, and I think that's wonderful. And I did, like I said, I did see your scar and I don't know if I ever asked about it. I typically wouldn't ask, but maybe at some point you said something and, that maybe when I decided to really, you know, go get seen naked.
Yes.
And it's funny, even if you look online and they show you all these different moles, it's hard to see the difference for me anyway. Like you think you can look, let me look at my mole and look online at these pictures. Does it look like this? That's okay. If it looks like that, it's not okay. And I'm like, wait, what? I can't really tell the difference. So
you go to the doctor. Yes. The expert, the expert for sure. For sure. But once again, like if you can just let one person, you know, get out there and, you know, go, oh, I've been putting up, because I think we all do that, especially like colonoscopy or something. Jeez, mm-hmm. who wants to do that? But right. You know, it's one of those things that you just got to do. So,
and those little polyps are so slow growing that if they find a polyp and it's precancerous, it's no problem. But if you don't go and 5 years goes by, it's cancer and it's a problem.
Yeah. But it's so funny. I have tweaked a few things, like, you know, I do turmeric ginger shots, mm-hmm. take turmeric supplements. My husband and I have been doing cold plunging. Have you heard about cold plunging?
Yeah, we talked about it.
It's so funny. We do it right now. We're using our bathtub and just fill it with ice. We freeze like two milk jugs, and you know what? At first, it's very hard to do.
Right.
But once you're doing it, because it's supposed to be so good for inflammation in your body. That's what
everybody says, like when you start, it's so shocking. But then after you build a little bit of tolerance, you're like, okay, this isn't as bad.
And it's addictive.
We're going to need a bigger bathtub over here.
Well, and it's hard to maintain in your bathtub. So we do want to get something, and we're going to get something for like our rooftop. Because the dopamine that you get, like when you get out of that thing, you're like, woohoo, like I can conquer this day. I have energy. Like you went, and that's after like, you know, 3 or 4 minutes.
Right.
And that, you know, so I try to do that every day because we just found like, okay, inflammation is something that's, you know, if it persists in my body, that's only going to perpetuate, you know, the cancer. So let's see if that we could do something about that. But yeah, I love it. Love it.
And how about autophagy? Have you explored that at all with intermittent fasting?
Yes. So I do try to do that. Like, you know, I just by skipping breakfast mm-hmm. and then, you know, eating, you know, just two meals a day or even snacks, whatever. But yes. So that, like, I swear, let me listen to another Joe Rogan podcast and what can I implement in my life?
I was going to say though, you're doing everything you can possibly do. And that, that's not only obviously excellent for your health outcome, but it's good for your family to see that you've got this and you're taking care of this. Like you said, it's sometimes frustrating when our loved ones with or without a diagnosis continue to maybe smoke or to not exercise or do things, you know, leave things on the table that they could be doing to help themselves. That makes you a little frustrated and angry. So at least you're not doing that to your kids.
It gets, and you're right about getting angry. Like sometimes I just like, you know, and I shouldn't, it's their life. Mm-hmm. But you're just like, oh my gosh, I've just had this flash before me and I'm going to do everything I can so that I can live a healthy life, and which they predict you can. They're like, oh, you know, you're going to be able to live with this. You know, it may disappear. You know, they say you could be cancer free. I'm not sure I believe that because it happened. mm-hmm. to show up again for me. So I'm not sure I'm going to ever believe that. But just knowing that I can live the rest of my life.
Yes, you know? As a manageable situation, like people have asthma or COPD or yes. whatever it is, you have it until, you know, a ripe old age.
Yes. But I am reading that book by Joe Dispenza. It's called You Are a Placebo. And it's so true, the positive thinking. And I guess anytime I hear like someone ask me a question about that, I go, well, it is just positive thinking. It's my, and I guess I've always believed that my whole life that, you know, anytime I felt a little sick, I was like, eh, it's nothing. I'm okay. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it be cold, flu, whatever. And I think if you do have a positive attitude, like I get up every day grateful for this day. I did that before my diagnosis. You know what I mean? And I
ding, have ding, ding. That's the important part. You did that before your diagnosis. So that's why we do it. It puts you in that frame of mind.
But I love this book that it's pretty much saying like, whatever you're thinking, you know, you're going to survive this or not survive this. But if you get your brain in the right place of just being, I'm going to see myself after this diagnosis, mm-hmm. after this year, I'm seeing myself climbing that mountain. Mm-hmm. This is how, you know, it's going to happen. And I just really believe in that. And this book tells all these stories about people that, you know, were told they had a terrible disease or something. And it ended up maybe they didn't and they died. Because they just thought, oh my God, I have this terrible disease or whatever. Mm-hmm. So there's all kinds of good stories, you know, kind of alarming stories. But the bottom line is mind over matter.
I'm going to think of you right now like our beloved Hinkley Lake in the Metro Parks. You know, they're closing it right about now.
Yes.
They're going to dredge it and they're going to fix the dam and they're going to fix everything up around it. And it's not going to be open next year for all those full paddleboard services and kayaking and everything. But the year after that, it's going to be, and it's going to be amazing. So that's what I'm going to think of you. You're Hinkley Lake right now. getting the overhaul.
I am. Yeah, getting the overhaul. Great. Yeah. But I am very, very positive. Wake up and meditate every day. I meditate in the cold plunge as much as I can because it kind of brings me back. Like first you get in and you're just like freezing. And then you're just like, okay, just listen, you know, and that really helps. So it's just like jumping in Lake Erie. So in a few, you know, months, I'll just be able to walk out there, jump in, and there's my cold plunge, you know?
How does your meditation...
I'd go in the bathtub.
I'm sorry?
I'd stick with the bathtub.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, I'm picturing me and Jeff giants in any sort of receptacle full of ice.
No, like I am lucky that I can just, being 5 foot tall, like I can just slide down under, you know, and I'm fine. My sister actually had an amazing bathtub. It was nice and long and, you know.
I saw something on Amazon not that long ago. I'm going to see if I can find it right now. That was like
this
cold
plug. I'm sure there's like an inflatable thing you can buy.
Yes. And it was really like relatively cheap. It was like $80 or something. And it was very, let's see.
So what you need, Patty, is for your rooftop, you need a hot tub and then the cold plunge next to each other, you know?
Well, I was even thinking the sauna. Like I would love to get, you know, the cold plunge. I know for sure we're going to do something there, but it would be nice to have a sauna then too, to kind of supposedly both of those together can be really great for you.
Yeah. But you can get something right around $100 that is not, you know, like the super fanciest, but it's very like the ice tub bath for athletes. Like you know, it kind of looks like a big garbage can. it does, but like it, you don't really need, you don't need a fancy thing. You're just going to jump in for 4 minutes.
Exactly. And athletes been doing this forever.
Right.
And you know, it's so interesting. Once again, I tell my sister about it. She starts doing it because she's a runner. You know, my other sister tried it. And it's just funny how you tell stories like that. And suddenly, you know, people, you know, are trying it because it's working for me. Mm-hmm. We were at dinner the one night and the people behind us, suddenly he was like, I'm getting a cold plunge and a sauna. I turned around because I was like, what? Like, it's just funny how, you know, I mean, he obviously was spending big bucks getting both of them, but it was just interesting.
Yeah. And like your consciousness is heightened about something. So suddenly you do hear it.
Maybe
you know,
that's
like
true.
If you're looking for a yellow house, you see a bunch of yellow houses. And so it's, it's
isn't that weird how that happened? That's so bizarre how that happens, I think. I'm like, geez, crazy. Yeah. crazy.
And good. That's the sharing. We're all connected.
Yes, for sure.
It's funny. And Amazon, I searched cold plunge tank. So I got some tank tops as well.
A tank top to wear during your cold plunge.
I don't know if it's even worth it at that point.
Right?
No, that's going to do nothing for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's a lot, Patty. I'm glad that you're in such a positive place and that you're also in your house, you know, or your townhouse where you can relax a little bit and not have to worry about, like, I'm sure you don't worry because you haven't had a home for 2.5 years, you know, like, and obviously you're very comfortable not having like that home base, but like maybe the things fell into place for a reason so that you don't have to stress at all about moving things around and getting from place to place. Rumor has it you have a car now.
Yes, I do. It's so funny. Yeah. Got a car. So I was like, and what's funny is then I find like now that we're living here, like there's so many days that I just don't even drive it because I am walking or riding my bike, you know, rode my bike to the West Side Market yesterday. It's about 1.5 miles away, or maybe it's like 2 miles away. But it's funny, but you know, it is nice to have, be able to go wherever. But interesting, Joyce, you just said that things fell into place because I kept thinking to myself, like, what lesson am I supposed to learn? You know, why is there this pause? Like, I've been having so much fun, you know, traveling around the world, you know, Dennis and I have been having a great time and I feel like I'm a good person and I take care of people. And I was like, what am I supposed to learn? Like, why is my life pausing like this? And just interesting that you just said that it happened now when I do have a house where I can chill and be 15 minutes away from the Cleveland Clinic.
And there were so many delays in that house being finished.
Yeah.
Like it was supposed to be almost a year ago, right?
Yeah.
And it took till now. And
because
now,
that's why Italy went from 2 weeks to, let's just go stay there then if this isn't going to get built, you know? But once again, you can't help but ask yourself that question about like, okay, not so much why me, but I know there's something I'm supposed to learn from this. Right. What is it?
Mm-hmm. I don't know that it's really a pause. Your route got diverted a little bit. You know what I mean? Cause you're already talking about where can we go within these 6 weeks. And although you guys really love traveling and that may define you right now, that doesn't define you overall. It's not like you're going to stop living and sit around and just worry about this, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And who knows what will unfold during this pause? Maybe you're going to have a grandchild.
Maybe you'll teach some yoga classes.
I see Patty going, but nobody's married.
Yeah. I was like, Mary Beth, don't say that.
Do you know something I don't?
That doesn't matter anymore.
Although, you know what? It doesn't. And I wouldn't care. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. I wouldn't care. But, you know, I do teach yoga. I have my little group of, you know, that we go down to Lakewood Park and the weather's been good. And actually, we can do it here once the weather changes. But I have been teaching. And I just think doing yoga has just been such a godsend and being, you know, knowing how to meditate and those kinds of things.
Yeah.
I just remember the morning of my first treatment, like I went and sat in the grass to be grounded and I meditated and, you know, did all the things I could to prepare my body for, you know, this drug that was going to come into my body to help save my life, you know? So yes, but I often think of that, like, now, I always said that once I get a house, like I'll have to figure out like, where can I teach yoga? What can I do? And now it's like, well, wait till I get the surgery and before I dedicate myself to, you know, a studio or something like that, you know.
Well, we probably have told you that for the very first studio, we considered for a hot minute the.
Yes.
Yeah.
Battery and, Park.
Right.
Right. Across the way. Yeah.
Yeah. Which would have been really. Had the potential of being really cool because the windows would look at Edgewater and, you know, it just been amazing. There were just reasons that the we couldn't make sense of it. Like the parking wouldn't have been great.
Yes. Yeah.
Especially at the sizes of classes that we would need to have and all of that. And we weren't looking in Cleveland. Like we hung out in the areas, but we weren't that wasn't where we were planning on exploring this. And all of a sudden the real estate agent that we were working with was like, you know, my company has this space, let me show it to you. And like, we knew where it was, we knew it'd be cool. And then when we actually got in it, we're like, yeah, that'd be amazing. But the restaurants and businesses that had been in there hadn't really had much success. And it got to a point where, like, very quickly, where the building owner was offering us such a cheap deal that I think was going to be $5 a square foot until that that road that you just showed us outside your townhouse was built, so that people could get in and out more. Like, it was almost like they were giving it to us, and that's when we were like, yeah, we're out, because that's never a good sign.
And you know what? There's been so much construction, like, and that's been taking up a lot of the parking, even. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Oh, we were the last, like, the construction's totally done. So we're blessed that happened. Like, we're not living in a construction site,
right,
where people have been, where this is now like a finished neighborhood. So a lot of those things, you know, we're really lucky that happened. Where now, I do think, of course, the price wouldn't be the same, Joyce, though.
Not now, no.
There's so many people that live here now. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. What's in that building?
A restaurant. So the Terrestrial Brewing, and right next to it, right? You mean restaurant into there? Yeah.
Oh.
A restaurant connected to Terrestrial. I don't think it does that great, though. Not sure, but I. Yeah.
It should be a little market or something, you know, like.
Yeah.
There's your side project. There's your side hustle. Patty's Market. Patty's International Market.
Of the West Side Market.
Yeah.
You can open a meditation center on the top.
There you go.
Or a cold plunge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ever get confused because this is new? Your place is new to you. Are you ever like, wait, which one is ours?
No. No, I get confused driving, though. Like, and that's always been a thing when we're back in town. Like, where am I? How do I get to 71? Like, I always have to use maps.
Really think.
You know, even now I'm like, it's not familiar. I mostly go 90. But like when I go to hang out with my mom on Tuesdays, I'm like, wait, how do I get to her place again? I have to go up to 70. How do you get to 71? So it's just funny. Like, you know, growing up, I grew up in, you know, Cleveland area. I should know these things. But no, I'm always like, then I'm sailing by Lakewood Park or something. Because I'm just, you know, it's not familiar. So
what kind of car is your mom?
I'm sorry?
How is your mom?
Oh, my mom's good. She's doing really good. Yeah.
She goes. How old is she now?
84.
Wow. She goes to chair yoga?
Yeah, she goes I take her to chair yoga. I force her to go.
You're doing chair yoga and you're going to like it.
Yes.
What kind of car did you end up getting? I'm curious because of all your travel. I'm wondering.
Well, that's what's funny. Like, I totally was going to get a sedan. Been talking about it for 2 years since I sold my other car. I'm going to get it. And then suddenly I was like, I saw a Bronco Sport. And I just kept seeing them. And I was like, that is such a cute little thing. And we're going to be moving. And I want to be able to take our bikes like to Cincinnati. Right. And we could put a hitch on that, you know. And so that's what I got. I ended up getting it. I said to Dennis, I go, you're going to think this is really strange. Because I've really never had an SUV or anything kind of like that. But I go, gosh, I feel like, and I love it. It's a cute little, it's not a huge SUV. Mm-hmm. But we put a hitch on it so we can take our bikes different places, you know, not just always riding around Edgewater or the towpath. So funny. And it worked out great because we're always lugging stuff places, you know?
Yeah. That's interesting. So I think you had a Cadillac before, right? So that's a little.
Well, I've had that and I had a Lincoln MKZ. Yeah. It's totally like, my daughter's like, what? She's like, that doesn't seem like you. I go, yeah, but it is. Like, we hike and we bike.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Makes and sense. Ride.
You know, Dennis has a luxury car. We don't need two of them. Like, if we're going somewhere fancy, we drive the fancy car. We're you know, going for a hike, or we're driving to the mountains, you take the other one. You know, so funny. Yeah.
Makes perfect sense.
It does.
How are your kids?
They're great. They're both doing really good. My daughter was talking about moving to Charlotte and they were set to be moving. They want to move before fall. But then when this happened, my daughter's like, I'm not moving away. I'm, you know, Ben and I are going to stay here. I know. She's like, Mom, I'm going to want to be at your appointments and stuff. And why would I be in Charlotte when I'm in Cincinnati? That's 4 hours away. You know, I'm not going to move 8 hours away. And I was like, don't do that. Don't do that. She's like, no, I'm doing it. So they're looking to, you know, I think they're going to, after I get through surgery, as long as everything goes well. Yeah, because I'm going to be leaving the country.
Right. Bye. Enjoy Cincinnati, Amanda, because I'm going to be back in Asia.
Right. yeah. So I'm like, you know, please don't hold yourself back. And my son had just bought a house in Cincinnati too. So they're both doing really well. Still waiting for someone to get married, but you know, it all happens in time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can imagine you planning a wedding that were being the mom of the bride or groom, I should say. Shouldn't say planning the wedding because
I would happily be like, whatever you want me to do, but make your own decisions because, you know, as long as it's not crazy. You know,
why not? It's actually so different now. It's almost less crazy. Weddings and funerals, like everybody just now does a little more of what they want instead of what they're expected to do. So I think that's a good thing.
I love that. I do too. We just went to one in North Carolina and it was in Troutman, beautiful, you know, a farm, Chickadee Farm. And it was just, you know, so quaint and very, I'm sure it was expensive though, because I think, you know, even though it's on a farm, it was a beautifully manicured farm. It had little miniature ponies and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but very cute. So I agree. I feel like people are doing more so what they want instead of, I don't know the last time we were at a church, you know, for a Catholic wedding, which seems so strange, you know?
That's a great point.
Yeah. Everyone's having these little, you know, destination kind of things.
Outside. Yeah. So what's Dennis been up to?
Same as me, cold plunging, you know, he plays pickleball a lot.
Meredith loves pickleball.
You haven't been bitten by the pickleball bug?
I did. And he taught me how to play. But I didn't, I need to find a group that I could play with because these guys sound pretty competitive and stuff.
Does he play international pickleball?
You know, what's so funny. We were in Mexico and they were talking about pickleball. The one restaurant we were at, the girl had just won a pickleball tournament. We were like, there's pickleball in Mexico? Yes. but no, we haven't played anywhere there. But he plays, you know, a couple times a week or at least once a week. And then golfing and, you know, putting things together at the house. You know, like he's trying to put a fan together. Like there's just been all kinds of things at the house to do.
Yeah. So I noticed when you were showing us the outside, we got to see a little bit of the inside. And it's somewhat minimalist, which you talked about before on the podcast of like how, you know, how light you travel. So how has that affected you having a permanent residence now?
Well, so what you're seeing though, is that our furniture just hasn't arrived.
Oh, got it. So it is minimalist temporarily.
We're sitting on the floor like they do in Asia. Oh no, our couch just hasn't gotten here yet.
Yes. No, but with that in mind, no, we don't plan on filling things up. And even we have a nice big great room or whatever they want to call it, family room, but I don't think I'm going to put a lot of furniture in it because I like the openness and spaciousness. But that is something that kind of gave me anxiety, like the cupboards. And Dennis and I were joking, but we probably should have done it. We shouldn't have gone to our one storage. We should have just got rid of it. Like we hadn't seen it in 2 years. Don't even know what was in it. And we should have just not, you know, dealt with it. Because as soon as we got it, we're of course getting rid of, still I'm trying to get rid of furniture.
Anything that would work in the Strongsville lobby? Cause
at what?
I'm just kidding. We painted the Strongsville lobby and we're getting new furniture.
Oh, gotcha. No, everything I have is big. Like I have an entertainment center that I love and I thought for sure it would look good in here, but it doesn't cause this is it's a lake house. It's a lighter view. You know, and all I had this dark cherry wood kind of stuff and nobody wants it. there is things I'm trying to get rid of, but it was so funny. My daughter was just so funny. Like, Mom, you don't need these 3 round cake pans. And, you know, just like, she was very like, you know, throwing it away, you know, you got two can openers, throw it away, you know, stuff like that. And so once I got everything kind of where it went, I really started, you know, cleaning out even more and donating even more after the fact, because I don't want every cupboard to have stuff in it.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's like our age too. I was thinking about this yesterday because I'm so much better at getting rid of stuff now. And then here I am accumulating new stuff for our mountain cabin that we're building. But when you're young, when you're 20s, you're like, oh, I might use this someday. Somebody's going to need this someday. I might have this someday. And now post 50, you're like, what's ahead someday is a little more foreseeable. And I don't think I'm going to be needing a second can opener or a whatever the case may be. So it's interesting. I mean, you do it innocently enough when you're young, because there is a chance you're going to need it or use it or someone will want it. But
how many times, like, do you forget that you have it and you buy another one because you actually do need it? And you're like, oh crap, I got to go figure out how to do this. And then, you know, a few months later when you're deep cleaning, you're like, oh
yeah. Yes.
No, and I'm really going to try not to do that stuff, because I don't want to accumulate stuff. I do need more organizational stuff because it is smaller. We downsized. And so I have been buying some organizational stuff just to keep, you know, but like, why do I have like how many sets of sheets? Well, I used to have four beds. I don't have four beds now. I got two.
Right.
So yeah. And you know what? Because I purged 2 years ago, it's made it so much easier now to be like, I know I don't need this stuff.
Yeah. Well, you haven't lived with it for 2 years, you know, like, and you're so used to living lightly that it just seems, the idea seems heavy.
I did that to some of my clothes. Like, I saw this box, having it for 2 years, and I did just give it away. Another box filled with stuff. So there's certain boxes I just looked at and was like, I'm not dealing. Boom. Shoes. Gazillion pairs of shoes.
Well, and if there was, there's nothing in there that you absolutely loved. Otherwise, you wouldn't have put it in the box.
Well, funny, my Amanda said that to me. She was like, Mom, do not bring anything in this house that doesn't bring you joy. And we thought we were going to use the tables and stuff. And then when I saw them the next morning, I was like, oh, no, those aren't going to go. Get rid of them, you know? Mm-hmm.
So are you donating? Are you selling on Facebook Marketplace? Are you throwing away?
I was trying to sell them, but I think I'll give it another week because I really don't care so much about the money that it's like, I kind of would like it to go to someone who needs it. But I thought, like, I was thinking yesterday, if one person inquires, I'm going to be like, just come pick it up.
Yeah. Right.
Come pick it up. I'll be happy.
Well, that's, like, yeah, if you have any interest in it at all, it should be yours.
Yes.
It's more than just like making money. You have to, it's like getting rid of it. You know, it's not easy to throw out a table or to even donate a heavy table, right? Like, cause your Bronco may not be able to handle it.
It won't. And it's funny. I called all these churches and I called like even the Cleveland Furniture Bank and they were like, sorry, yes, we'll come pick it up, but you have to have one of these items that we need. We'll pick up everything, but if you have you have to have a bed. It was all this stuff that I didn't have.
Oh, geez.
Like, they're only come to pick it up if you have something that they really need, which they don't need tables or an entertainment center. But that's why I feel like some family would be happy to get this stuff. So, but I was thinking that if someone, because there was all these saves, there was like 50 saves, and I was like, okay, somebody wants this. If someone would just reach out and be like, just come get it. It's free. Like,
kind of wish you could message all the saves like, hey, I just don't want this stuff anymore.
Yeah.
When I say best offer, I mean, come and get it.
Yeah, yes. And if I had a front lawn, I would just put it out on my front lawn, but I really don't have much of a front lawn. So, you know, I don't know. But yes, I'd have to say it does get easier just to, you know, get rid of stuff for sure. And what a better way to live, not all this stuff.
Right. Yeah. I need to throw some shit out.
It's a lot of static, a lot of stuff in your mind thinking of all the items. Ugh.
Yeah. What did they say? Most people have like 30,000 items in their home. Yikes. Yeah. Yikes.
I know when we go to, you know, like an Airbnb, which we do every now and then, sometimes there's three forks and three knives, and they're not even like great. They're kind of those, the cheapest ones that kind of bend when you use them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they do the trick, and you wash them, and you don't, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
we,
yes.
And I'm, it's just, it makes you think like, oh yeah. It, the less you have, the more you have to keep it clean and organized, and it's easier.
Well, you got to do more dishes then, Joyce, is the issue. Well, so sometimes we fill up our dishwasher, right, with the few things that you got. And you're,
that's
okay,
true.
Gotta run it.
That is true. And we have done that at Airbnbs where you feel like it's wasteful. We're like, yeah, I've got this about a quarter of the way full, but there's not much else to put in here. So
Yeah. And I do have my coffee coffee cup collection. And there is 200 or more cups, and they are still in, they're down in our garage. Cause I haven't decided, like I said, I should donate those, like not even look at them, just donate those. Cause I don't have room and I don't want to fill cupboards up with, you know, so I don't know what
I want to have
do.
A coffee cup, you know what? Wall.
Yeah. I'm having a conversation with myself right now. Cause I'm sitting here looking at this shelf where I have a couple knickknacks, and I'm so not nickety knackety, but I know, like, this one is a clown music box that I know that when I was like 12 or something, my mom brought back from one of their trips. She doesn't remember she bought it for me. I'm the only one who knows. If I drop dead, everybody's going to be like, what is this clown? Nobody knows but me. And so why am I hanging on to the item? Same with this little teddy bear knickknack. And it reminds me of, there was this, everybody knows my basement floods. That's the fun of living here on the 130. And one flood, I was just devastated because I lost my box of Christmas ornaments. And I had loved every year decorating the tree, opening up that box and remembering my friend Michelle from California bought me this one. And I left the card attached to it with all the nice things she had written. And my parents' friends from growing up had gone to Frankenmuth, Michigan and bought me all these custom ornaments. Bob and Lisa in Chicago had bought us these just really special, beautiful ornaments for our first Christmas together. And they were all just had to be thrown away. But I just told you the story of every one of those ornaments,
yeah,
proving that I didn't need the ornament at all, right? Yeah. I didn't need the physical thing. I have the memory. The ornaments are still in my head. So we can let go of the stuff and not let go of the fact that my mother brought me this stupid clown music box back from wherever they went in 1980.
Right.
That's what I need to keep reminding myself. The item isn't, it's dust. It's nothing that needs to be held onto because you have the memory or the thought or the intention of what that was.
We were clearly raised like this. You know, like maybe because things weren't as replaceable as they are now,
mm-hmm.
You know, like I was very proud of myself the other day because when we were painting and moving things around in the Strongsville lobby, I wasn't happy about this, but the two softball trophies in that one corner fell and shattered.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, on the concrete floor.
Yeah. And I just was like, let's sweep it up and throw it away. And James is like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah, because you know what's going to happen is like one's already 3 years old and they're going to be like in a trophy box someday that nobody knows what to do with. And like we have photos and memories. Like, I mean, it's kind of fun to have those in the studio, but again, it's okay to not. We still have the belt, you know, like it's.
And we still have the stories and we tell the story and we propagate the story, but the actual things they have a lifespan. They should be there at first, but then everything does have a lifespan.
Right. Like it's over and trophies are fun, but I don't know. It was like, okay, time to, it's just kind of like
painting.
I also
came upon my ESP 2005 Employee of the Year plaque when I cleaned out this cupboard. Should I get rid of that? Because I kept it.
Well, and that, right. Like, what do you do with that?
Right.
You don't need
it. I'm getting rid of it.
Right now.
Because nobody cares but me anyway. Do I think that my grandchildren are going to someday be like, oh, she was Employee of the Year in 2005. what did she do again? I don't remember.
Right.
Yeah.
This is coming from a person who's dying to purge her whole entire house and has no time for it.
Yeah.
Having a 3-year-old really, really changes things.
Oh my gosh. Alina, the video that James posted when he was singing, "Here We Go, Brownies, Here We Go." And she was saying, she would sing "Wheels of the Bus," and he would say, "No, that's not the same song." And she said, "It is the same." You got to look for it if you haven't seen it, Patty, on his Facebook or Instagram.
I will.
I messaged. I posted one a couple of days ago. I had her in the park like last Friday, and she, you know how you guys might know, they in preschool or daycare, they or somebody, there's, you can look it up on Spotify, but they'll use the Addams Family song to do days of the week. So there's Sunday, and there's Monday, there's Tuesday, and there's Wednesday, Thursday, and there's Friday, and then there's Saturday. Well, somehow she has, it's coconut mutt. So she, you'll hear her singing this. She's got a stick and she makes up her own words, and it's just really cute. She loves to sing. So she'll
she's very grown up all of a sudden.
Yes. Well, I told Mary Beth this the other day, but I think it was Tuesday morning. She asked me if I could get her some cereal. And I was like, "Oh, what kind?" And I was like, "Sure. What kind would you like?" And she's like, "Fucking cereal." And she started laughing.
I told Joyce, I said, "Did you tell her to get her own fucking cereal?"
Yeah.
It is so funny when you repeat stuff.
I was so shocked that I wanted to laugh and I knew that was the wrong thing and I couldn't really say anything. And Ashley heard, she was getting ready in another room and she was like, "Alina, that is not a good word. And you know that." And I think she said that somebody in her class had said it and then everybody thought it was funny and now it's spread, mm-hmm. you know, and because every kid in the class probably has heard it and knows that it's a bad word, but like, yeah, so
that's awesome.
It's so, and it's just coming out of her mouth. I had sent that in a text chain to my mom and my brother, and my nephew, there was this one video they have where my sister-in-law told him to clean up. And this was like, he's only 7 now. So this was a few years ago. And he was like, he doesn't like to clean up, you know? And he was like looking at his toys going, "Look at all this shit. I don't want to clean up all this shit."
But anyhow, and then there's the older ones like Adelaide and Kennedy saying things like, "Are you going to do the sex on vacation and bump your privates together?"
Really? Yeah.
Adelaide actually has said, like, "Do you guys do the sex" or something to my brother.
It's the sex.
How old are they?
They're 9 already, believe it or not.
Yeah.
I know. Wow.
Okay. I know, right? Yeah. Adelaide and Kennedy are like very, very similar, not just in age, but in the things that they say and things that they do. So do you know if she still believes in Santa?
Well, I believe so. You know, there's a lot of kids in their neighborhood, so I'm sure things are starting to go sideways. But while we were there, we lost a tooth. So the tooth fairy situation had to happen. And she was, so because Brad and Kathleen were out of town, some nights the kids slept in their mom and dad's room because we would watch, you know, Deadliest Catch or something together. But she's like, "Can you write a note? Can we write a note and leave it under my pillow?" So I said, "Sure." We wrote a note. You know, "This is what room Kennedy's in tonight." But when it was actually time to go to sleep, she wanted to go back to her own bed. So I do think she still believed or is testing the theory.
Well, so I waited till she was good. Rough because like they still want the money or the gift
the
or
money
whatever.
or the idea of it. So then later, you know, I'm trying valiantly to stay up late. She's sleeping. And I go in there with my whatever, $10 bill, whatever it was. And her door is creaky. So I'm like, stop, try and wait. She's not waking up. So I slipped the money quickly under her pillow, under her head. But I couldn't immediately feel the tooth. And I wasn't going to risk waking her up. So I just left it. And in the morning, she found the money, but she said, "But she didn't take the tooth." And I said, "Well, you know what? She probably maybe, since your mom and dad were gone and thought that they wouldn't get to see it or something." I mean, I don't know what bullshit I pulled out, but So, and she does, of course, have still the little brother who's four. So for sure, Santa's going to be a thing in that house. But she hasn't asked, but I'm sure there's questions now, just because there's always those other kids that are more grown up and trying to ruin each other's lives.
And they figure it out. I remember saying, well, my mom has really nice handwriting. Mm-hmm. And so did Santa. You're like, nobody else has handwriting like my mom, or at least nobody that, you know, I knew at the time. It was very, it's very distinct, at least to mm-hmm. me. And Santa mm-hmm. has the very same handwriting, yeah. either right. that or, you know, printing like my dad.
Right. So, yeah. I remember Amanda freaking out about the tooth fairy. Like, she's like, wait, the tooth fairy is going to come in my room and go under my pillow. She was like, no, thank you. Yeah, it was a young age that I go, wow, she thought like that. In the meantime, we as young kids were like, woohoo. You know?
Yeah, right. We weren't scared of something creeping into our room in the middle of the night. So you could have set up a table outside her room. Like, here's my tooth. Leave the money. Yeah. Don't come in.
Yeah, right.
But think it like, you know, Santa's an old, hefty guy with a beard. You're going to go sit on his lap.
Right? Yeah. I don't think kids these days go for that stuff.
Yeah, right? After all the stuff we tell them to do all year, and then we're like, and go sit on this stranger's lap and tell them what you want for Christmas.
This creepy yeah. stranger, yeah.
Yeah. Ay, ay, ay.
It's kind of funny. And then the Tooth Fairy and the Easter Bunny.
Yeah.
It is fun, though.
Yeah. Same thing though, you know, Easter Bunny delivering your baskets. The Easter Bunny would hide them in our house in the dryer.
yeah.
That could end badly for the Mallie's chocolate eggs.
Right. The Easter Bunny has done that too, left clues, you know, a little post-it note.
Post does this at everyone's house.
Right.
Yeah. It is. It's fun. Just that innocence. I mean, there's a lot. I have friends that disagree with that never told their kids anything Santa. They always were very kind of adult with their kids, which I'm sure has its merit too. But I was just thinking yesterday, like as you were saying, Patty, doing the whole gratitude thing. You know, I love to drive. I love nature. I love the sun and the music playing in the car and your sunroof open. And I was realizing what, you know, I still have that and it's still super fun, but I miss, you know, when you're 16 and you're first driving, all those innocent with your whole life ahead of you, innocent joy all the time is a hard thing to cultivate as we get older.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, Mary Beck was talking about how her son, who I believe is a senior this year at St. Ignatius, mm-hmm. his girlfriend, they've been together for like probably over a year now. She's a year older. So she goes to the University of Cincinnati and there's been times where he's driven her there or driven her back. Like he'll go down there to get her and bring her back or whatever. And like, I mean, that's a long drive for a young person.
For a teenager.
When you're young, you're like, I'm doing this, right?
Heaven. Yeah.
And now thinking about driving to Cincinnati back and forth over the, you know, over the weekend or in one day is like, nah.
Drudgery. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just such a long time on the road and.
It's your first freedom. It's your first independence. First time you pump gas. It's like, I'm so cool.
Yeah. I'm doing this.
That's why I love that I still have the same best friend from those days because, yeah. you know, I remember us learning to drive together and buying gas and sneaking out to go to Rocky Horror Picture Show and ordering coffee for the first time and just all sorts of stuff.
I wonder if Cedar Lee still does that. I used to go see the Rocky Horror Picture Show too.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be able to stay up that late.
No kidding.
Take a nap first and then get up at midnight.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what would have to happen.
Right. Well, you can watch it on YouTube. Yep. Cedar Lee still does it. 9:30 on Saturdays.
Wow.
9:30 though.
Wasn't it midnight?
Yeah. It used to be midnight. I didn't have to go to Cedar Lee though. Parmatown did it luckily because these suburban girls wouldn't have been able to handle much more.
Oh, I didn't even know that Parmatown did it.
Back in the day.
I don't remember. There was a theater there?
I think so. I mean, yeah, I'm trying to think. There was also like the Parma Theater, which was like at Snow and Ridge. I wonder if that's
actually
where it was.
I think I do remember it being there because they would do some. I could see, totally see it being there. Yeah.
I saw a lot of movies there. But before they eventually tore that down, they ended up just doing like second run movies for like $2. So Steph and I would go there all the time when we were like in our 20s, I think. Teenagers, I don't know. It all blends together now.
It does.
What's the last movie?
Every mall had a movie theater though back in the day. I'm almost positive.
Mm-hmm. Or at least one close by, like right in the...
Yeah.
What's the last movie you saw? In the theater.
I don't know. Oh, yes, I do. Steph and I went to see The Whale.
Oh, how was it?
It was good. I mean, it wasn't a happy movie. That's the one with Brendan Fraser as the, you know, really, you know, really overweight guy, like, you know, 500 pounds on oxygen, et cetera. And of course, he's divorced and estranged from his daughter, and he's trying to reconnect with her, knowing that he's not going to be around much longer.
The last one I saw was, we saw The Fabelmans, probably back in like February or something.
How was that? I tried to watch it on cable a couple times and I didn't get right into it, but
it was long and kind of drawn out. It wasn't, I mean, it was tolerable.
And Spielberg, you're just expecting it to be so stellar that it was probably.
Tolerable is a rough word. It was tolerable because it was a biography, but it wasn't like captivating, I guess. Mm-hmm. I know which one I'm going to see next. Go ahead, Patty, your turn.
Well, we actually saw a movie in Dubai, but I can't remember what it was.
Of course, her answer is going to be like, the last movie I saw was in Dubai.
I saw a movie in Dubai.
Yeah, no, but of course, and the movie theater was like fabulous and everything, but I can't remember what the title of it was.
Well, everything in Dubai is fabulous, isn't it?
It is. It's like the Las Vegas of, you know, United
Arab Emirates.
Yes. Yeah. It's just.
Do you feel like you know the map of the world better now than you used to?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Because I don't know where anything is.
I uncovered our map, that our pushpin map. And I was like, wow, I got a lot of filling in to do, you know, places we've been since in the 2.5 years we've been gone. But I do. And it's so funny because you say things and people are like, where's that? And I'm like, really? Like, you know, like where's Borneo or where's, you know,
I see Dennis
sighting. Dennis sighting.
Dennis. Oh, he ran by. Bye, Dennis.
But yeah, like places that I just feel so familiar with, or even Kuala Lumpur. Do you guys know where that is? It's in Malaysia.
No, that'd be negative.
Beth and I are like,
But to me, and then we went there and it's this big, fabulous city like New York City. It was like amazing. And I was like, how come, you know, more people don't know about this?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to get the word out.
It was a very cool place. Yeah. Yeah. I know, so it's halfway across the world, but
we're just so insular and insulated. You know, it's our world and other people are just living in it, but there's other worlds going on outside of us that
there are tons of them. Tons of them, for sure. So
the next movie I'm going to see is the Taylor Swift concert movie.
Oh.
Because my niece and I often sing her songs in the car together. And my niece thinks it's fun. Like if I, you know, press the button in my car where you can talk and ask Siri to do something, now she's like, press the button. And she'll say, hey, Siri, or hey, Spotify, or whatever, play Taylor Swift. And so, you know,
my Siri just went up.
We'll do that. And I joked with my brother several times. Sorry, I'm like,
I can't do that in that app.
Siri is responding to you.
Yes. But I joked with my brother, like, can I take her to her first concert? And, you know, can you pitch in for the $10,000 Taylor Swift tickets?
Right.
You know, in Detroit. But then this is coming out and they happen to have like the Friday and the Monday off of the weekend that it's coming out. So, it's going to be our trip.
Epic. That is going to be epic. How excellent.
I'm excited for her because I think, because she's never really, not that we'd be at a concert, but like, I don't, she doesn't understand the concept. She can't understand it, or, no, you know.
And so,
I think it'd be really fun. Actually, she was a couple weeks ago, I have to write this down. She was, she asked Siri to play something by Ruth something. And I'm like, how do you, Ruth B? Yeah. How do you know, you know? And she's like, well, we're allowed to make our own playlists in a class, in their English class, something on the computer so that they have headphones on and they can just listen to what they enjoy as they write or they do something. Maybe it's a computer, like maybe I can't imagine that wouldn't be distracting. So it must be something where it's less distracting, you know?
Yeah.
But she loves Ruth B.
Ruth B, wasn't that, didn't she do the Peter Pan song or something a few years back?
I don't know. Dandelions, she sings. Mixed Signals, Lost Boy, if this is, I mean, she's got some, I guess, semi-popular
things. Lost Boy is what I'm thinking of.
Is it? Well, how did Ruth B get famous? That's after taking up piano. Oh, well, yep, you're right. Lost Boy, the Peter Pan inspired piano ballad. So, but yeah, I had no idea who Ruth B was. So then, of course, I'm like, well, I'm going to be the cool aunt. And I went to her website and I'm looking up her like merch. And she doesn't have much, or she didn't have much on her merch site a month ago or so, but she did have some clearance hoodies that were like adult extra small. Actually, most of the things on there, she just didn't have any new things, you know? And I'm like, I'm going to get this for her for Christmas and it's going to blow her little mind. And I'm going to be the coolest aunt to go down in history. Maybe I'll take her. Actually, that's what led her to the website. I was like, I want to take her to her first concert.
Yeah, fun.
The and memories. Now I know
Ruth B is.
Yeah, well, Ruth B isn't going on tour. Yeah. She's got some hoodies. That's about it. And a digital download that you could buy. She has three things on her merch page. A digital download, a black hoodie, and a white hoodie.
Oh.
So Ruth
so nobody
B must
has
be
seen
between,
Barbie?
In between albums. No, we almost went a couple of times. James wanted to see it because Vince saw it and liked it.
I was just going to say, I'm surprised James and Vince didn't go to see it together and dressed as Ken.
Wait, what movie?
Barbie.
Oh.
How funny would it be Vince and James dressed in pink? Or listen, whenever Vince saw it, whoever he saw it with, he might have been dressed in pink. It is Vince Petter we're talking about.
I'm surprised that, well, and I don't know this for sure, but I don't think that Vince is planning on being Barbie or Ken for Christmas or for Christmas for or no. Christmas, Halloween or Christmas.
But he told me he likes to involve a costume that could possibly be shirtless because, quote, it makes people so uncomfortable. End quote.
That's so funny.
Well, I said, you know, I find when I'm shirtless, people are pretty uncomfortable too, Vince.
I told you, I think we talked about it on the podcast about what he was for Halloween last year because we're all, James and I and Susie and Vince are usually invited to the same party. And Vince was the Will Ferrell character from Saturday Night Live who they were supposed to dress up at work, like wear patriotic colors. And he wore a red, white, blue Speedo. Yeah, that was who Vince was.
My goodness.
And so the funny thing was, is that there was a couple there. And so, you know, obviously everybody was uncomfortable or not, you know, Vince got the reaction he wanted and it was funny. But then this couple came who she was Bruce Jenner. So she had like a, you know, tracks running stuff on and he looked was athletic. Caitlyn Jenner and he was an excellent Caitlyn Jenner. Like he had, you know, like he was tall and like thin, like he wore the skirt just like Caitlyn Jenner. It just worked so well.
That's a good idea for a costume.
And it was really funny. And like, it was very, but Vince was like distraught because somebody else was getting attention. And so he happened to have a backup costume with him. So what? after he wore out all the shock value of the red, white, and blue Speedo, he disappeared for a few minutes and came back as Rowdy Rodney Piper. Except he had no underwear on under his kilt. So maybe I'll have to edit that out.
Oh, boy.
But that was a threat. I can't say that for sure because I don't think anybody saw that that was true, but he was threatening to bend over or to, you know, whatever.
Oh, but yeah, my goodness.
Vince likes the...
He's so funny.
He likes the shock value. He likes the costumes. We just had Susie on, and one of our questions was, did you know he liked costumes so much? And she was like, no, that kind of came out later in our marriage.
Vince is a handful.
That came out later in our marriage. I love that.
So I wonder what he's going to be this year.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll be good.
Entertaining for sure.
Definitely entertaining. Well, Patty, it's really nice to see you. I know the international podcast audience isn't going to be able to see you, but they can definitely.
Well, you could put a clip.
We can put a clip. Yeah, you look great.
Thank you.
It's also personally nice to catch up with you.
But can we still do lunch?
Yeah.
We can do lunch. And thanks for being on the podcast. And you'll have to continue to come back and give us some updates whenever you want. You have our numbers. We can figure this out. So,
thank you for letting me share my journey.
Thank you for sharing. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. It's so interesting because we didn't know anything about it when we wanted you to be on. You were just always a popular guest from the start.
And I feel like I haven't told all, like even haven't told some of my friends, because it's such an awkward thing too. Oh, by the way.
Right. Hi.
Well, now you can just send them the podcast.
Yeah. Here, find out what's going on in my life. Here you go.
And you know, it's such a, everybody deserves, first of all, you know, privacy and whatever they need to heal, which might be solitude and not always having to talk about it. But it's, it can be difficult. I know we all have people in our lives who are so hush-hush about things like that. And it's difficult. I've had people who even, you know, were really quite sick and not going to make it and didn't tell people. And that's hard to navigate too.
Yeah. It is, but it is like an awkward thing. It is like, it took me a while even to tell my whole family. I told my sisters. But then to tell the rest of my family, I was like, ugh, you know, in the beginning, you know, now I've had, you know, some space since July to, you know, really work through my feelings and stuff. And now it's easier to talk about for sure. And, you know, but in the beginning, it's very hard to talk about and share. So.
And then it's a shock to other people. And then you have to talk about it. And maybe you were having a fine day and didn't want to talk about it or think about
it. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So, but thank you for listening.
No problem. Thanks for sharing and hanging in with us for the almost 2 hours that you have.
Wow, yeah. Long one.
And if you're a listener and you've gotten this far, please feel free to subscribe to our podcast, share it with your friends, give us a good review, and reach out. Tell us you want to be a guest.
We'll reach out and touch someone.
Huh? Reach out and touch someone. Yeah, we'll send Mary back.
Right. Yeah.
All right, we're done.
All right.